Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with LA-based jazz saxophonist and composer on the 2022 CD Golden Rule, Mr. Dennis Mitcheltree. This new recording is his sixth as a leader and is brimming with humanity. The music celebrates family, lost friends, his major inspirations, and speaks directly to our shared journey through life and the imperative to treat each other with love, respect, trust, and dignity. In short, to treat others as you wish to be treated. We cover this album, COVID life, the modern world, New York, LA, and so much more. Enjoy this interview.
Good to catch up with you again.
Likewise.
How's everything going?
I have to say things are just fine.
Good news.
Good news. How about yourself?
Well, everything's cool, man. And I guess that's my lead-in here with everything, with the new album, Golden Rule, and everything that's going on in the world with things opening up. How did you do during COVID? I know it was a really particularly rough time for musicians. How did you cope and how did you change as a result?
Well, not playing, you know, was just really, really tough. Not being able to hang out with the people that I dig who have the same mindset and play music. And then just to play with other people, man, it was tough. I have to say I probably went about, 6 months without playing with anybody. And then I started getting together with some cats, just playing like in an open air garage, where the bass player and the drummer wore face masks. But you know, it, at least I was able to get something. But you know, as far as the you know, like surviving money wise, I have to thank the federal government for allowing people like me who are 1099 folks, people who are self-employed. The fact that I could get unemployment, man, that allowed me to survive that whole thing financially. That was like the only thing that kept me above as far as that goes.
You know, the interesting thing about that is that I interview a lot of musicians from Canada, and I think the model that they have up there where there's health care for everybody, you don't have to worry about it, you don't have to worry about going bankrupt. And there's a lot of cats up there that get grants to make albums. So when I hear you say that during this time, our government actually supported the arts. It gives me some faith in the political process in this country.
Yeah, it's just too bad that we have to go through a global pandemic in order for that to happen for a little while.
Yeah, right, absolutely. So overall, with things coming back and waking up, how do you see the jazz community coming back stronger?
Well, as far as myself, the pandemic also gave me an opportunity to just take some time and look at what I was doing. I was able to, you know, I've been raising my kids who are now 12 and 15. And they, you know, frankly, they took precedent over my musical career during that time. I was certainly still playing, but I hadn't been able to organize my stuff very well. So I was able to get it all out on the streaming services and have some new CDs made and come out with a new recording. So frankly, it kind of gave me a rest to get a bunch of stuff together. As far as the jazz community goes, I think if you take what's going on here in LA, it's reopened, but it hasn't reopened as strong as it was before the pandemic. And, you know, the situation in LA is that people are more geared towards entertainment than they are towards art. So the kind of jazz that I do is always kind of underrepresented in this particular area. So, you know, I mean, it's not New York. You can't walk down the street and bump into a jazz club and just pop in. And frankly, unless LA gets a mass transit system, that's never going to be the case. You know, it's certainly better than it was during the pandemic, but I'd love to see more. Unfortunately, the art aspect of music isn't really appreciated by as many people here in Los Angeles as say in New York City. And the monetary remuneration for playing just makes it really tough for those of us who have picked this career, because frankly, we can't do anything else. We love this so much that we just have to do it despite the financial hurdles that one has to go through. So it's back to a certain extent, but you know, it could be better.
Oh, I get it for sure. So have you noticed that the crowds have been different? I know here in Kansas City, going out and seeing live shows, there's an attention that I haven't seen before, and people are really thrilled to see it live.
Yeah, I have noticed that too. There's definitely enthusiasm because people weren't able to go out for a while, which is great. Last December, I did a gig at Smalls in New York City, and it was sold out, and the people were just totally into it. It's a beautiful thing to be in a situation where people are really intently listening on something that you've spent your life trying to put together. You dig?
Golden Rule, your new album that's coming out in October, Johannes Wallman's on it. You got a great lineup. Kind of talk to me a little bit about how you artistically put this, not only collection of musicians, but the songs and the entirety together.
Okay, well, that's a big one. I mean, as far as the musicians go, we have Johannes Wallman, Jesse Crawford, and Bill McClellan, and I have been playing together for, 25 years at least. And, the relationship that we have together is really long, and it's really intense. And when we get together to play, it's like we're just back at where we were when we were touring, a couple times every year back in the late 90s and early 2000s. That's a no-brainer. If I can get these guys to play with me, it's my band. We've got a thing. As far as the music goes, basically we had this, Bill and Jesse still live in New York, and, Johannes is now the, jazz director at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, but he was able to get to this gig at Smalls in New York last December, and I set up a recording session, about a month before, maybe 6 weeks before the gig and recording session. I wrote a bunch of new tunes, sent them off, for them to check out. And we just got together, did a little rehearsal, played the gig, and then the next day we did the recording. And it was great. I have to hand it to those guys for their ability to pick up on new music that I write that they haven't seen before. It was really great.
I think of all of the, musicians that exist in the world, I mean, you guys get in there and knock it out fast. Have you noticed a different way that musicians that are interacting after all of this time apart, now that everybody's getting back together in their album or in the studio, have you noticed that there's a different commingling that's happening now versus, prior to March 13th, 2020?
I haven't really thought about that, but I mean, now that you mention it, yeah, there is a little bit of difference. There's, I think probably akin to what you're talking about with the audiences that you see in Kansas City. It's like not being able to do what it is that we do has made what we do that much more precious and that much more intense and less cavalier and more focused and frankly more important and more valued than it was before the pandemic. Just the fact that we finally get to do what it is that we do. There's been a change. That's true.
So ultimately with this album, what do you hope the listener gets from it?
The music is the music, and I wrote the music because I'm interested in the music itself. But as I was writing this, I started to realize that with everything that's going on in the world, particularly in America over the last, 6 years, there's been so much divisiveness, and so much meanness, and so much disrespect that as a musician, what I want, or as a human being, what I want to try to do is bring as much good into the world I can. And, I can do that in three ways. I can do that by raising my children right, to be happy, healthy human beings. I can just be a good human being myself. And I can try to bring attention to the better nature of humanity through the music that I write. And, since that's what's on my mind, that's what comes through with this music that I've written. It's imperative that we stop the divisiveness, we stop the disrespect, and we start to work together again, as a nation and as a citizen of the world. If we don't, man, things are going to get really bad. We have a choice, and the choice has always been there. And if you look at the long arc of humanity, we've had tons of wars, tons of people being crappy to each other, for sure. But if you look at how civilization is structured, as it grows, we try we tend to choose cooperation over conflict, despite the fact that it looks pretty dire right now. I have real hope that we're going to rise above this and appeal to the better part of our natures.
Yeah, I think so too. I think at the end of the day, ultimately, the good and the karma will balance everything out. And, I think historically speaking, history is like a carousel. You know, we revisit things, and I think these kinds of things have happened. But, yeah, hopefully everybody kind of comes to a better place, because if we can't negotiate the differences, that's going to be the crux of our future, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And it really comes down to one thing. You know, just treat everybody else as you'd like to be treated. You know, that's the golden rule. That's Kant's categorical imperative. It's, if everyone just did that, we'd be fine.
I agree. Yeah. And hopefully over this pandemic, that's one thing that we have been taught, is that hopefully there's levels of empathy. But unfortunately, I think one of the reasons why we are so divisive is that, you know, those of us that have been open to it will open further. Those that have been closed and don't want anything to do with it have probably gotten more closed off to it. So one way or another, there's just got to be some kind of reckoning.
I'm afraid so too. I mean, I'm hoping that it's the kind of reckoning that doesn't turn into anything violent, into anything dire like that. But in thinking about this, what I've realized is that, you know, before it was not, it's still not cool for anyone, but some people think it's fine to express sentiments that are racist, that are mean, that are disrespectful. And people like that used to be shamed from having that kind of behavior. I mean, I'm kind of against shame because it keeps us from being who we are, but I'm also for it in the context that it keeps us from being the worst that we are. So I'm hoping that what happens is the people who are dealing with this kind of behavior end up feeling ashamed instead of having to have a war to fight this out like the Civil War.
So let's get to the good business here. Tell everybody where's the best place for them to pick up the album, whether they want to buy it or stream it, and learning anything about live shows or anything that's going on with your world.
Sure. The best place to get the record is at Bandcamp, which would be DennisMitchellTree.bandcamp.com. There's two singles available right now, Genghis Khan and Waltz for Thai. The full album will be released on October 21st, but Bandcamp is definitely the best place to get it. Even if it's easy to go to the site and buy something, you don't even have to set an account up if you don't want to. But that way, the musicians actually get paid. The other way, of course, is that it's going to be on all the streaming services, and iTunes and all of that stuff. But, you know, the money that we get back for what it is that we do in those, you know, those venues is pretty, pretty small. And as far as like catching me live, I'll be at in Ventura, California, which is not too far from LA, on September 15th, playing with my quartet. And then I'm doing a Midwest tour of Minneapolis, Madison, Milwaukee, and probably Chicago in October 22nd to the 27th.
Dennis, it's great to catch up with you. I appreciate you taking time out today.
Thank you so much, Joe. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in LA, New York City, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Dennis for his time, music, and cool. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Dimino on the iTunes Store. Visit neonjazz at youtube.com, and for everything Neon Jazz, all the time, go to the neonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.